This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
Hi, Brewskies. My name is Becky, and I'm from Houston, Texas. And I wanted to tell you a story that happened to my family about 10 years ago. And just to give you a little bit of a backstory, our daughter was in fourth grade and was going to be going to middle school pretty soon. And we knew we wanted to move into a neighborhood that would keep her with the friends she'd grown up with. So we started looking for houses in a neighborhood actually just across kind of one of the major roads in Houston, and knew that we would need to find one that was a bit of a fixer-upper just because the cost of the houses in that particular area were pretty steep. So we had a friend of ours start looking around. He's a realtor, and he found actually a house that was on a really nice street right in the middle of the neighborhood near her friend. And it was a bit of a fixer-upper, hadn't really been updated in, I guess, probably a couple of decades. It was still kind of decorated in the 80s, and this would have been in the mid to, you know, about 2006, I guess. So when we went to look at the house, on top of the fact that it was definitely had not been updated in quite a while, the house was still full of all of the people's possessions, like they had never moved anything out. And so we kind of overlooked that, didn't think much of it, and thought, well, we'll just, you know, it's a fixer-upper, it's definitely in our price range. And so we put in an offer, and long story short, got the house. And so we made arrangements and met the owners, lovely people, and older couple, and found that they had some kids that were probably pretty close to my husband and my age, which was at that point mid-40s. So we proceeded with the house, got everything, you know, got started moving in. They cleaned out all of their things and their garage, which was actually even had a car in it, and started doing just some renovations. Not anything really big, but we put in new floors and, you know, painted and updated the house to where it was more current. And so we had moved in, I guess. We'd been there probably about a week. And just to give you a quick layout of the house, because it's relevant to the story, when you walked in our front door, the entertaining part of the house, I'm going to call it, where the den, the kitchen, living room, and dining room were, was a big loop. So if you just pictured, if you look at it from the top, it would be like an O. So everything kind of connected. And then from our den, it went back into the living area of the house. So there was a very short hall, which if you walked straight from the den into it, you'd walk right into the bathroom, but that ended up being our daughter's bathroom. And then there were two bedrooms. Our daughter's was in the front right corner, or front corner of the house, and our husband's office was just right next to hers. And then if you took a right and went down a long hallway, there was another bedroom to the left, laundry room on the towards the end of the hall on the right, and then a master bedroom at the very back of the house. And so one morning I got up, and it was my habit, I get up about 5:15. I'm a teacher, so I needed to, you know, have my coffee, read the paper, and I called my mom every morning just to touch base and check in. She's a widow and elderly, so I wanted to make sure she was fine. So I was talking to her and leaning on my island in the kitchen. And our den, there was a kind of a half wall that separated the den from the kitchen area and the breakfast area. And so there was a little bit of a bar. So I could look through the bar area and see into the den, but it was still somewhat closed off. And I was talking to my mother, and I should also mention that the back of our house was nothing but windows, just tons of windows. And so it was dark outside, so everything was, it was like a big mirror, basically. So I'm talking to my mother, and I see our daughter walk through our den, but it's like she had been standing right on the other side of that bar from me, probably no more than 4 feet away. And she was walking away from me, putting her hair up like she was going to put it into a ponytail. And so I told my mom, I said, hold on, I think our daughter's up, and I think she's trying to trick me, because remember, the house was a big, that part of the house was a big O. And so I said, I'm gonna go back the other way, because we like to play jokes on each other. So I'm walking back the other way, expecting to run into her, and lo and behold, I never do. We never meet. And so I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And I told my mom, just hold on, let me go see if she's, you know, if she's hiding somewhere. And it was still, it was really early, and she's not one to get up early in the morning. So I checked, you know, my husband's study, and then I walked into her bedroom, and she was sound asleep, mouth open, you know, definitely out. And I realized that what I'd seen was a ghost or something that was trying to mimic our daughter's, what she looked like, which I know enough just from a little bit of reading that I've done that that's not a good thing when you have some sort of a spirit decide to look like a living person. And so, you know, a little freaked out over that. And I've seen stuff over the years, but nothing that distinct. She looked solid as all get out. Like I said, I thought it was our daughter. And so that kind of started the beginning of the end for us with that particular house. We started to figure out pretty quickly why the people got out as quickly as they did. They would not respond to phone calls or anything else for that matter. In fact, we kept getting their mail and they didn't want to have anything to do with us. So a few more things happened over the years. At one point, our daughter, I guess we've been there about a year, started coming into our bedroom in the middle of the night complaining that there was a short figure standing in the corner of her room. And it wouldn't do anything to her, but it would just stand there. And it wasn't, she called him the little man. And didn't come to her bed, didn't move around, just stood in the corner. And so she'd come and get in bed with us. And I finally said, this is ridiculous. You're not going to do this anymore. And so I went into her room and basically just said a prayer over it and told it to leave, that it wasn't welcome and that it needed to quit threatening our daughter. And so things calmed down for a bit after that. But then about 6 months after that, she came into our room. We were all going to bed and was running and looked definitely very afraid, and said that one of her closet doors, which is, it was a sliding, there were sliding doors, but they were hinged at the top, so the bottom was free swinging, and that one of the doors had swung out and hit her, and it had swung out. I said, well, something must have fallen inside your closet. She said, no, it swung out and it hit me in my hip, which is, you know, about 3 feet off the ground. So that would have had to be something really, really big, and it would have definitely not let the door close back to its normal position, which is what it was in when I went to check it out. So that was odd. And then I guess about, it was Christmas time, my husband was out of town. Amanda and I were sitting on the couch in our den watching TV, and I saw movement out of the hallway, down in the hallway. And I looked up and I saw a man's figure, probably about 6 feet, maybe a little taller than that. And he was wearing a dark, long coat with dark pants and like a, kind of like a cowboy hat, but it was a flat brimmed, slowly walk out of my husband's office and disappear down into our hall, because it's only about a 4 foot space that I can see before he goes down into the back part of the hallway. And I looked at our daughter and I was like, did you see that? And she said, yep, I saw that. And so needless to say, didn't sleep well that night, but they never really hurt us, never really did anything. And, you know, my husband, meanwhile, is not believing any of this stuff. He thinks it's silly and all of that. Until one night, my daughter and I were both at a mother-daughter event for our church, and it was an overnight lock-in kind of a thing. And so he was home by himself and got home the next morning, and he said, I might need to rethink this stuff you're saying happening is silly. He said, I was in bed watching TV. I had just turned off the TV to go to sleep, and I heard kids laughing. And he said, I got up, and I thought kids were maybe outside the window joking around with some of our daughter's friends. And he said, I walked the whole outside of the house. There was nobody there. I thought, all right, well, they just ran off. He said, I got back in bed and, again, put my head on the pillow, and next thing you know, I'm hearing kids giggling again, but now I can tell it's inside the house, and it sounds like it's coming from the playroom, which was this room, this kind of this catch-all room, which, coincidentally, when we cleaned the house out, in cleaning out that particular room, it was just literally just full of junk to the ceiling almost, we found a Ouija board in the closet up on the top shelf, and so not sure what that was all about, but we know from just what neighbors told us that the people that lived there before us, the son definitely had some anger issues, and we actually found holes in walls that had been patched up in several of the rooms. So, you know, it's a little too easy to say it was the Ouija board, but kind of think it probably was. And then the last thing that happened is after, you know, over the course of all of this, these things happening, and we also had some structural stuff happen with the house that should not have happened, but it did. We decided it was time to get out of there. There was just too much, not worth dealing with. And so we found a new house and this one on the market. But as we were cleaning out the house, I was actually teaching. I was at school, and our daughter was home sick. And I should say that her bathroom, as I mentioned, structural things were kind of going wrong with the house. Her bathroom door had gotten to the point where you could not shut it unless you lifted it and pushed on it really, really hard from the inside. And so that's important because my husband was in one of the closets in our hallway cleaning out and packing things up. So he was in the closet and had the door open. It was, you know, to the hallway. And then our daughter was in her bedroom and it was her door shut. At this point, was a teenager. You know, that's how they live. And my husband heard this whooshing sound and her bathroom door slammed shut. And so he jumps up to go and kind of gripe at her for slamming the door so hard. And she meets him coming out of her bedroom, wide-eyed, confused. And they both looked at each other and he said, "Why did you slam the door?" And she said, "I didn't slam the door. I was in my room with the door shut." And so he, at that point, that kind of confirmed for him what he already was thinking because of the kids' laughter he'd heard, that we definitely made a good choice selling that house. So anyway, that is the story. And coincidentally, that house now has been actually torn down to the studs. They leveled it, rather, and a builder came in and built a brand new, big, gigantic, you know, custom home on top of that. So I'm not sure if there's anything going on now. I suspect that there might be. I don't know, depending upon what exactly was going on and where the stuff was coming from when we lived there. But anyway, that's my story. I hope to hear it at some point on your show. I listen to it, your show, all the time. I really enjoy it. It's my guilty pleasure. And I'm going to become an EPP member very, very soon. So thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
If you want more real ghost stories and access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.